teeny time. It's teeny time.
Oh, thank God it's teeny time.
Episode 25. Welcome back, jeez, motherfuckers.
Bitch.
I just want to say, the last podcast started out so aggressively.
Oh yeah, Madison listened to it and immediately texted me and was like, jump scare.
I was like in my car driving to a volleyball tournament. Balls. And I was like, oh, this is a perfect time to just like review. And I turned it on. It was like, cock and balls. And I was like,
hey, listen, you did that, not
like,
me.
Like, shout out to our viewers listening, like, just ready for a peaceful pod and like a bam.
Yeah, well, we were just excited because we were like, hey, we are so close to the 25th episode, which means we're so close to the 50th episode, which means we're almost halfway to a year.
Literally reaching for anything. Like, well, actually, congratulations. It's 25 today.
It's 25 today. Holy cock and ball.
Holy. Now we can say it. Now it's justified. And that is why we are having a little teeny for our teeny time. I feel like we haven't had
a real teeny
time. A consecutive joint teeny time.
We have
in a while.
Yeah. Like, when's the last time you had a teeny with me?
It's been a hotly hot minute since I've
hotly
had,
hot.
Since I've had a teeny teen teeny. And you can tell I've already had one. But like, I feel good. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling like this is a big milestone for us.
I'm feeling like you keep popping your toes.
my dogs, if you see me moving my dog.
I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but like, we've been taking turns having our dogs out on the pod. And was it the pod before?
She was like, she had her toes out and she was like wiggling them around, like tucking them into the couch.
I was
and, like,
trying not to have my dogs on display. Okay, they're cute and all, but like,
here's
the
thing, the
problem.
People will come at you on the internet for anything. Your dogs are out, why are your feet on the couch? I mean, people want
us just with shoes on the couch.
I know, literally, totally just rubbing reason. All over the white, beautiful white couch.
No, yeah, honestly, I just was like, I don't know if I quite want my toes.
I'm like, if your dogs are going to be out, we should be getting paid for that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I was like tucking my dogs in. My dogs.
But honestly, my dogs are heinous. Like, I have 11-inch dogs and they're... and they're kind of like hairy and like
she's got some big ass
and like my toes spread out kind of crazy.
Mine do too.
Like, in a dog fight, my dogs are on top.
Yeah, me and Madison used to like lay across the couch when we lived together and we would interlock our toes,
hold toes
like we were holding hands.
I feel like every best friend has done that at some point.
I leave a comment down below.
I was actually at a bar the other day and this girl that I didn't know came up to me and we were both wearing like sandals. She was like, let's hold feet. And I was like,
please tell me you did not.
I didn't do it. Okay. No, I was like, my girl, no.
Wait, what?
It's so weird.
Extremely.
Like, let's like lock in.
Because I don't know if I would do that with anyone besides you.
I want to say that she was blacked out. I wasn't mean at all. I was just like,
she just took one good look at them dogs and she was like, I need
to lock
those.
In them dogs.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, I don't want to take my shoe off.
She saw
off.
The potential.
I like had like a strap on. Like, it would have been a whole fucking.
You had a strap on? I had...
She wanted to hold dogs with my strap on. Yeah, that's how it went.
Okay, so she was wearing a strap on at the bar.
So anyway, welcome to episode 25. We're going to talk about tonight something that we know absolutely nothing about.
Literally couldn't tell you the first thing.
This is going to be the marriage pod.
The marriage pod. And you know, I feel like Madison has more to give on this because this bitch will probably be engaged by the end of this year.
I would hope that I would be engaged, but...
I mean, he bought a ring.
Yeah, he did buy it. Like, he fucking
like,
it's
he happening.
Locked that bitch.
Yeah,
in.
It's happening.
But and like, no pressure. I don't know when it's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying that. Well, like, regardless, it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So you have more insight opinions on, you've probably been thinking about it more than I have, for example. Like, I'm still single. I definitely have someone new in my life, but I wouldn't say that I'm not still single, you know, like
you're not in a relationship.
I'm not in a relationship. Yeah.
And honestly, like for me, I've been thinking about marriage since I was 5. Like, I'm not kidding. I've always been obsessed. I used to tell my family I'm having 9 kids. I'm going to have a husband by the time I'm 18. Like, I really thought I had it all figured out. I thought I was going to be a Harvard lawyer. Okay, Madison, like fucking
oh,
relax.
Oh, how life really just changes.
Really just rocked me.
Well, I've actually never been someone that's thought about being married. And I don't remember much, like, if I thought that as a kid. But I know, like, as I got older, I'll tell you what, I've never been the girl that has had her wedding day planned out or, like, her dress or has envisioned it. Like, I have friends who have had this shit planned.
Like a vision board since they were, like, 10?
I literally couldn't fucking tell you. Even to this day, when I look at wedding rings or engagement rings or wedding dresses or venues, I have no idea what I prefer. All of them, to me, look bad.
Yeah, and you, no like, offense. Have never really had a strong inclination to get married. Like, that's never been the top of your mind. Yeah. Like, I honestly can't say that I've heard you, like, talk about that a lot or mention it a lot. Or
I haven't.
Like, I've been fangirling over wedding rings since I was five.
Really? Literally,
yeah. I've always wanted to get married. And I just feel like there's, you know, different types of people. Same with men. Yeah. That's kind of a perfect segue into our first topic, which is people that want to get married and people who, like, innately have always had that desire, especially with men, and people who don't. You know, I think that there's a lot of discussion in this world of finding your soulmate. Finding your soulmate and waiting for the perfect person
to, or just lift at the gym with,
to just get fucking jacked with for the rest of your life.
Eat creatine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Do lines of creatine. Yeah, like, honestly. But no, like, that it's going to be that love at first sight or that moment that just takes your breath away. And people spend so much time waiting that maybe they meet that person and maybe that person isn't really who they should be with. Don't marry someone for their potential. Don't marry someone for who you think they can be or the person that you want them to be. Marry someone who is someone
already
you,
that.
Yeah, who would you would want to marry. Mm-hmm. Someone who has the same life values, the same goals, who has good morals, a family man, someone who is just inherently good. Don't marry someone because you feel that crazy passion and maybe you think they're your soulmate. You got that love at first sight, that crazy special feeling. They don't actually have those things that you're looking for in a husband or a partner because you can't really change someone. And I think that's why marriages are so short-lived, especially in this generation, is people get married because they're excited to get married and they marry for potential.
100%. I see people get married all the time, and not to be a pessimist or a hater, but I see this and I'm just thinking to myself, like, there was a day once where marriage meant something, and I feel like nowadays it's just like a token that people want for themselves. And then don't get me wrong, like, I get some people have lived their whole lives wanting to get married, and that's, you know, the American dream of, like, getting married, having a kid,
white picket fence. Yeah
So, like, I get the desire for it, but why put yourself through, like, I've personally never understood why anyone would put themselves through something so permanent if they're not, like, certain
100% sure.
And I also feel like, back to what you said, don't just marry someone for their potential, because many people can be your soulmate. Like, I've definitely met soulmates in my life and they were pieces of shit. That does not mean that I did not connect with them on, like, a soul level.
Absolutely. Like, they can be your twin flame, whatever you want to call it. You can have an extremely strong connection to someone and that still not be the person that you should choose.
Yeah.
Because I'm a really strong believer that marriage, especially long lasting marriage, is based off of two people that chose each other for the qualities, the morals,
for the values, exactly, and the understanding of one another. Like, I could only personally ever see myself lasting long-term, like long-term in terms of lifetime, if they were on the same page with me with everything that I value, right? Like, if you don't align with someone in those very important ways, it seems like it's not a big deal now. Maybe you guys can work through your differences now, but give it 15, 20 years, your marriage is going to end because it's a fundamental difference between how you believe life and each other should be and act.
Oh, absolutely. And 15, 20 years is, that's pushing it. I mean,
yeah, that was being generous.
That love, that strong feeling of passion and love, that goes away after 2 or 3 years. And that's when the nastiness starts to come out in somebody that maybe you didn't have goals or morals or values that aligned with in the first place, but you married them because you felt those strong feelings of passion or love, or you were really sexually attracted to them, or they had a lot of money, whatever it may be. To have marriage that has longevity, you have to want the same things in life. And I think these are the conversations
that should be had.
People stopped having because they were so excited about marriage and about passion.
It's easy to be in denial when you're with somebody that you love, that you know is not the right person for you.
Absolutely.
But I love them. They love me. It's great. Like, but you know that there are, and sorry, I'm getting sidetracked now, but this is on topic. Like, for me, something that I noticed is, because thinking in that same mind frame, when I would want it so badly or be so in love, but know that they were wrong, I would be sacrificing so many things that made me happy just because I loved this person. So, like, I was never truly 100% happy. And I feel like a lot of the times they say, oh, marriage is a sacrifice. Marriage is a sacrifice.
A compromise. Yeah.
Maybe to some degree, but you have to be very wary of what it is that you're compromising. Like, are you compromising things that are needs of yours? Are you compromising things that you need to be happy and to feel loved just because you know that your partner or the person you're with can't give that to you? Because that ultimately is not going to work. Not only is it not going to work, but it's not fair to you. You should have that. And I think staying with someone just because we love them when you're not receiving those things, because you're living in a lack mindset, because you think you're never going to find it, there are more people out there that can can give you what you want and what you need.
You don't have to change who you are or become a chameleon because you feel like so strongly in love with somebody to feel like you should be able to marry them.
And don't get me wrong, like that fucking sucks.
It totally sucks.
To love someone so much. But just think about how amazing it will be to love somebody that just sees you for you, and you don't have to like teach them how to treat you or how to be in your life. Not to say the person that you're with now that isn't giving you exactly what you want and need isn't a good partner. Like they're just not the right partner for you. Maybe they'll mesh better with somebody else. That's probably definitely not what anyone wants to fucking hear.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really good point, is like just because you love somebody, you can really truly deeply love somebody to their core, does not mean that they're the person you're supposed to marry.
Yeah.
Because marriage is a lot more than just love.
Yeah.
Let's be for real. Love is not always going to be at the top of your feelings for this person. If you're with someone for 30, 40, 50 years, if you think it's always going to be passion and love, I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. There is so much else that goes into long, happy marriages. And it all starts with these conversations that you should be having before you get married. I personally think that there's four topics that should be discussed and agreed upon before marriage is even on the table. And that's financial status, how you want to treat money, how you handle money, how you're going to distribute money throughout your relationship, how you're going to spend money, the type of future that you see for yourself. Are you okay with being, you know, median range? Does one of you want to be super rich? Is one of you really unmotivated? Definitely financial. The second one is religion. If somebody is extremely Catholic and you're atheist, I'm sorry, but that's just a direct value that's going to compromise your relationship in the long run. I'm not saying that it's not something that can't be worked out, but it's something that needs to be discussed beforehand. The third is whether you want kids or not. And as basic as that sounds, that is something that is so important.
That's something that tears relationships apart consistently, because you marry someone, you know the other person doesn't want kids. They think they'll change their mind. They're not going to. You end up splitting up.
You think you can change somebody. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that you can't go into a marriage with the mindset that you want to change something about this partner, something that is a core value. And the fourth thing is family, in-laws, how you're going to treat in-laws, how you're going to back your partner if your mother-in-law is disrespecting your partner, how you're going to deal with family tragedy, who you're going to spend Christmas with, because this shit becomes a lot bigger issue 15, 20 years down the road when your parents have to move in with you, God forbid. And maybe your wife is, your parents are never going to move in with us. I don't want your parents to live with us. And you're a family man. You always have been. Something that should have been discussed before you got fucking married.
That reminds me actually of something that I recently saw. There was this girl asking men on the street, just random men, what order that they would put the women in their lives in, out of their mother, their daughter, and their wife. So what do you think that the order should be?
It's funny, I've seen this going around, and it's so funny to watch different men and their different reactions and just be able to tell the type of man they are right off the jump.
Literally.
Personally for me, and of course this is the most cliche answer, but like it has to be your wife first. Because your wife is the one who, one, births your fucking children. Mm-hmm. She keeps your whole family together. Mm-hmm. And I understand that it's tough when your mother literally pushed you out of her vagina. Like you, you have that respect. You owe her that love. But when you become an adult, you create your own family and you have to put your own family first.
Literally. Like think of your mother in this situation. If you're the type of man that wants to say mom comes first over my wife and my daughter. Okay. Think of it this way. Your mom is a wife or was a wife or at some point, and shouldn't your mother come first to your father in that situation?
That's exactly it.
Because that's her family. You are her family now. That is her family. So that is like, you're a family man. You're a mama's boy. You love your mom. If your mom raised you right, and if your mom is a good mom, then she would also agree that your wife should come first.
Your wife, your kids, and then her.
And like, I think men think, oh, the wife wants to come first because, oh, it's not all about
selfish
you.
And yeah,
like it's literally not even that. It's like your wife is your family now. She's the person that you chose to spend the rest of your life with. You're not spending your life with your mom. Okay. Your mom's always going to be there. Your mom's just as important as the rest of them.
Your mom's not raising your kids though.
But in terms of like what ranking they come in, your wife comes first because she's the mother of your kids. She's who you're spending the rest of your life with. She's who you're financially intertwined with. She's who you live with every single day. She's who you make every single decision with every single day, whether it's for your kids, for your parents, or for yourself. She's the person that you supposedly love, right? Like,
well, and I think that's the issue. The values with marriage have gotten so fucking twisted. People look at marriage as if it's not, it's just a piece of paper.
It's just another relationship.
In reality, like, the piece of paper has nothing to do with it. Marriage is committing your life to someone. The person you're going to have every meal with, go to bed every single night with, go through every tragedy with.
God forbid, for all of you men out there that think that your mother comes first, did you know that if God forbid something ever ever happen to you, your wife is actually the one contractually obligated to make all of your decisions for you when it comes to your medical care.
Absolutely. Because your wife is your first of kin.
Yes.
That's who they're going to go to first for financial. God forbid you become a vegetable. They're not going to ask your mom to pull the plug.
No.
They're going to ask your wife.
Yeah.
And like,
because that's your immediate family.
If you're not marrying someone that you would trust to make that decision, that you would trust if you were in a coma to handle your finances, to handle your children, to handle your life, this goes for both men and women. Don't fucking marry them. Because this, you see so many marriages, especially in my profession. As a realtor, I deal with a lot of divorce. People selling their houses because they're getting divorced. You deal with so many people who are like, they just changed. I can't believe how much they changed. This is not how they acted 7 years ago. He spent all of our money. He was at the strip club cheating on me. I found drugs in his car. And I'm like, I understand that people change, but people's morals and values to their
like
core.
Those things were all there.
They
100%, you knew that he liked the strip club. 100%, you knew that he liked to spend his money on dumbass shit.
Yep.
100%. Oh, when he starts going through a midlife crisis, because everyone's going to go through that at some point, how are they going to react? You saw this coming. Like, and I'm not trying to sound like a cold-hearted bitch right now, but it's like, you see the red flags immediately. And that's speaking from someone who's been there and seen the red flags and overlooked them because I love someone, because it's really easy, especially when you're a good person, to overlook people's flaws.
And to compromise, right? You make compromise for these things. Oh, he went to the strip club once and spent a couple grand. It was just a mistake. That's not who he is.
Yeah, or on the flip side, you're okay because he likes the strip club. He goes with his boys. Maybe he brought you with him a couple
you
times.
You had fun. Yeah.
It was fun. It was this and that. Okay, so then you can't be mad 10 years down the line when you find out he spent all your money at the strip club. Like, of course you can be mad about that, but like, you cannot be surprised.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm saying. The whole point to a podcast, the whole point to this segment is that do not marry someone if you are not 100% satisfied with who they are as a person to your core. Because my partner thinks strip clubs are despicable. Always has. He's going to a bachelor party this weekend in Vegas. And I'm like, I mean, if you go to a strip club, like, it's not your bachelor party. I don't really care. He's like, I'm not stepping foot in a strip club. I don't care if they go, I'm not.
I love him.
No. He's not interested.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He would never, even if we weren't together.
Yeah.
He's
just not what he's into.
That's not his fucking vibe.
Yeah.
And that is how I know that when he goes through a midlife crisis,
that's not how he's going to
react. He's going to want to like build a retaining wall.
Yeah. That's he's going to want to build a shed in the backyard.
Yo, literally. All he talks about is building a fucking shed and a retaining wall.
I love him.
Yeah, he wants to build a retaining wall. That's all he
That's
talks
really
about.
Funny.
And just do like home improvements and be a family man.
Yeah, be the man of the house.
And so as much as I love him, truly love him, and do feel like he is my soulmate in a way, I also know that I choose to be with him. I choose his love. I choose that life for myself because that is a life that is going to make me happy. And I truly cannot see a world in which we get divorced.
Yeah.
Because he's not, that's the value of marriage to him is a hell of a lot more than that.
And like, honestly, I know that neither of us are married or have any experience in this world, but I actually do feel like, at least Madison, because I haven't been in like a super healthy relationship thus far like Madison has. Against my will, may I just add, but like seeing her blossom in her relationship and just be with someone that just makes sense, and not even just makes sense for her, but like everything she's saying right now and everything we're talking about, it's like he has good values, good morals, treats her well, is a provider, like gives a shit, thoughtful, considers her, that and so much more. It's nice to see that, but in the other side of things, it's nice to like view it from an outsider's perspective of someone who has struggled with shitty men and dated shitty people who have never come through for me or been anything but trash to me, literally.
Yeah.
Because it sets my standard higher. And I know it all just sounds, because I remember I used to get upset with her when she would try to like preach it to me. Not like she was very preachy, but seeing it now, it just makes sense, especially in the terms of marriage and long term, because it's like, why would you want to be with someone who doesn't connect and align with you in every way? And I'm not talking about like subtle differences like, oh, I like spicy food, they don't like spicy food, like things like that are fucking stupid,
irrelevant. Yeah.
Or like, oh, she's super loud, he's super quiet. Like, those are honestly good things.
Yeah, I mean,
because they balance each other out. I'm talking about like core things, like how you treat each other when you're mad, or how you are when you're happy, or how you spend your money, how you treat a situation when you're jealous.
How you fight.
How you fight.
How you act when the other person isn't around. How you speak about your partner.
Yeah.
Your morals and values when nobody is watching.
Yeah, like the things that you like to partake in, the activities you partake in with your friends, with your family, by yourself.
Yeah. Just the person that you genuinely are.
Yeah. Like to your core, like emphasis on to your core, because when you're with someone long term, like you can, people can fake who they are for so long, but it'll eventually come out. And I feel like we've said this and I don't want to be going in circles, but
you know who someone is.
You see these things early on. Like, do they have a porn addiction?
Yeah.
Do they love the strip club? Do they love the club? Do they get really mad over a really small thing?
Do they put their friends over you constantly?
Do they drink when they're pissed? Do they, like, these are things that you see. Do they like to gamble?
How do they
much?
Handle heartache? How do they handle tragedy?
Yeah.
How do you fight? And I think this is something that is so important, how you fight with somebody. Because I'm not going to lie and say that we don't fight. Everyone fights. We're a couple. If we didn't fight, that would not be a good thing. Like, if you're with someone you never fight, you have to express your differences. But the way that you do that, can you fight and respect each other? Can you fight and still love each other? Have an end point that you're trying to get to a resolution and be on the same team?
I saw someone say once, like, I want someone that can be mad at me nicely.
Exactly.
And that's always resonated with me because it's so true. Like, you can be mad at me. That doesn't mean you need to be mean.
Disrespectful.
Doesn't mean you need to yell.
Unkind.
Doesn't mean you need to, be just a nasty person to me. Like, there is a way to communicate. And that's, again, I feel like every single thing all encompassing that we've discussed on every relationship pod we've done, including this one, the main component that makes all of this possible is communication.
Absolutely.
It's literally not like that hard. And I feel like it is like completing a Rubik's Cube to most men and some women, honestly. But it is, if you can learn how to communicate, because if you can be mad or upset at your partner, which is normal and is going to happen, and you're able to communicate that and they're able to communicate back with you instead of getting defensive, putting walls up or shutting down, it's got to be a two-way street of communication.
And of meeting in the middle and being on the same team for getting to the same goal.
Yeah.
Right? You're not against each other.
Yeah. And like, you know, with certain situations, like if you come at someone angrily, they're going to get defensive. So if you can find a way to communicate how you're feeling without using you statements, use I statements. I feel like this, instead of you did this and now I feel this way.
Right. Instead, like, of making it all about them.
Don't blame things on people. Like, say, I feel this way. This is how I feel. And if the person cares about you, like, that should be enough for them to say, I'm so sorry that I made you feel that way. Like, they shouldn't want to make you feel that way. However, if they don't give a fuck, if they do get defensive, it could be a little bit of trauma down deep. Like, I definitely have had a hard time in the past taking blame for things. But at the end of the day, if someone cares about you, they're going to care how something makes you feel. And if you come at them in a nice way, obviously it depends on what it is, but regardless, I feel like you should be able to be somewhat respectful. I don't know why my brain went straight to like, if they cheated on you or something like that.
Like the worst thing possible. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like when you're in a safe relationship, it becomes a lot easier to communicate. Like, there should be no secrets in your relationship. We know each other's phone passwords, bank passwords. There is nothing that I couldn't ask him or he couldn't ask me. There's nothing that we don't know about each other. We know about each other's finances, each other's investments. There's nothing that we do. We don't make big decisions without each other. And I was talking to a couple the other day. I was talking to a girl actually who's unhappy in her relationship. They've been together for 8 years. And she said she has no idea how much money he makes, how much money he has in his bank account. He's very weird about money. He's very weird about splitting things. And I'm like, you've been dating for 8 years and you know how much money he makes? What do you mean?
Yeah.
These are the communication things. Like, if you are not super open and trusting and loving with someone that you've been in a relationship with for that long, you need to fucking cut your losses. If someone is hiding shit from you or being shady or weird.
And then that ties back into like 10 years from now when they're hiding things from you, you find out that they have a whole double life.
When they drained your 401k or something, yeah, terrible.
You can't be surprised when, they ruin your finances and now you're financially tied to them because you're married.
And that's exactly it.
Like, you didn't ask the questions.
My partner and I will have 100% joint bank accounts, 100% both names on title, on mortgages, on cars. There's nothing that won't be shared because I know that at some point I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. If you think I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and not know
what
combined
the financial,
fucking finances.
Yeah.
Because then what about me?
Yeah, what do you do?
And this is the thing for women that I really want to put out there is that if your partner is being financially abusive and you're a stay-at-home mom, your job, okay, let's put it into perspective. Your job is to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. That is your job.
Yeah, like you should be being financially compensated for taking care of screaming toddlers all day.
Well, and that's the thing is your partner should want to do that.
Yeah.
If you're with a man who is...
like doesn't view that as like a responsibility
and doesn't
worthy,
respect that, then don't fucking marry him. Ask him that.
Or don't have kids with him.
And this is a really good segue into our next topic, which is 50-50. I think that this generation specifically is a lot more inclined to be 50-50. Men don't want to provide the way that they used to. And for me, that's a major issue because I'm an independent woman. I can provide for myself all damn day. But when I get married and I have children and my job is to raise the children, I will 100% be financially intertwined with my husband. His money is my money. My money is his money. It's our money. It's our life. It's our family.
I agree with that. And I think like the 50-50 conversation, right? It doesn't necessarily mean like you're bringing home all the money and I'm taking care of the kids. 50-50 is if you're tired tonight and I took care of the kids all day, I'll cook you dinner. But if I'm fucking tired from taking care of the kids all night, then you make me dinner tonight, because that's 50-50. 50-50 is taking on the task when the other person can't do it today, because that's, to me, that's 50-50.
And that's 100-100.
80-20 and 70-30. Like you switch off.
Give what the other person can't.
Yeah, because you care about the person. It has nothing to do with the finances. Like obviously if he's working, you're taking care of the kids. But then when it comes down to like the other stuff, that is also a big part of creating a home. She shouldn't just be expected to cook dinner and clean all day because she's home all day. Like what if the kids were extra sassy that day? And even if you had an extra hard day at work or vice versa, one of you takes one for the team because you love each other and like I'll cook and I'll clean tonight because you deserve to sit there and relax. Like that to me is 50-50.
I actually saw something I really liked, and it was like, if you're a stay-at-home mom, that's your agreed upon arrangement. Your man is at work from 9 to 5. You're watching the kids. That's your job from 9 to 5. Cooking, cleaning, wiping ass, whatever your household duties are, he's at work. When he gets home, you're both off shift for work. Then you're both one combined unit for the evening. Neither of you are working. You're both a family together. You both cook. You both clean. You both take care of the kids. You both do bath time. It is a 100% reciprocated and joint affair because you already both worked 8 hours.
Yeah. You can't expect her to wake up, take care of the kids, cook and clean for them all day, then cook and clean all night when you clock out.
And you get to come home, have a beer, get served dinner. So when does she get to rest?
And with my theory, it's like he could come home and be like, I had the worst fucking day at work today. And she's like, babe, here's a beer.
Chill.
I got dinner. I got the kids bath. I got it tonight. To me, that's marriage. It's like taking one, but that's where you have to, again, pick someone that can do that for you when they've had a bad day. Because what if you both have a bad day?
And then you both have to show the fuck up. Mm-hmm. I also meant 50-50 in terms of a man who wants to provide, because I feel like there's a lot of men these days who want women to financially show up and be a homemaker. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you don't get to have it all. I think that men have kind of lost their drive to be providers. And I understand like this in this economy.
Yeah, for real.
I do understand it's a lot more difficult and you get a lot further if both people are contributing financially. But what I do not respect is a man that expects a woman.
Like if we're both bringing home money and income, then we're both taking care of the kids
equally. Equally.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of men that expect that she will work a 9 to 5, he'll work a 9 to 5, she'll come home, cook, clean, and wipe ass.
Oh, hell no.
I
was just about to do that.
And back to the fucking beginning, this is the conversation that you need to be having before you get married and get pregnant. These are the things that you really need to discuss. I understand that there's men that lie and are charming and narcissistic.
But you cannot tell me that there wasn't a red flag somewhere along the lines that you can't
was
see
he cheap?
Your blind.
Whoa. Was he cheap? Did he ask you to pay 50% of your first date? Was he nickel and diming everything? You notice if somebody is cheap or not a provider, or doesn't have the mindset that they want to work really, really hard and show up with their family. Does he play video games 8 hours a day? Does he not clean and expects you to? These are the type of things that, okay, he might say he wants to be a provider, but does he show up as a provider? You can figure that out before you get fucking married and knocked up.
There's so many ways to tell these things before you make that really permanent decision. If anything, get married before you have kids, like if possible, because at least marriage you can get out of. You can't get out of having kids once you've had them. And if you get once you have kids with someone, you are tied to them
and
for life.
Your children's life are tied to them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you have to think about too. It's easy to not think about yourself. I know as women, we sometimes put everyone else above ourselves and we're willing to compromise. But think about your children and the life that you're bringing them into and the father that they're going to have, the man that's going to raise them, the morals that they're going to be taught, the type of emotional intelligence that your children are going to have, and be selfish for your kids.
Yeah.
Be selfish with the partner you pick so that your children and yourself can have a good fucking life. Like, we don't have to be miserable.
Something I saw recently said, to be loved is to be considered. And I just feel like that is the definition of love, because to consider someone in everything you do, how is that going to make them feel? How is that going to affect them? There are so many things and choices that you make in a day, and it's so easy to consider your partner or the person that you're with, but it's so often not done. I feel like I can't even explain to you how many relationships I've been in where the simplest just consideration of me would have changed so much or meant so much, but I'm just not in their mind.
You're not at the top of their mind.
At all. Not a priority. Not even crossing the forefront of their frontal lobe.
And what are we gonna say? If he's not considering you, he probably doesn't fucking like you that much.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just not got the...
Maybe he's just not considerate.
Maybe he's just not considerate, which both are bad.
Yeah.
Both are bad. And speaking from someone who's finally experiencing someone that just considers you with the smallest details, it is so much better than being with someone who literally couldn't give a shit if you lived or died.
Well, and I think that's the difference between like actual love. It's so easy to say you love somebody and to have sex with them and to hang out with them casually, to go get fucked up with them. It's so easy, but it's really not true love. True love is when you consider someone with everything that you do and you are doing it naturally. You don't have to force it.
It's like if you're about to go away for a couple hours or you know you're going to be busy, letting them know, considering them.
Hey babe, super busy next couple hours. Talk to you soon. Love you.
Yeah. If you're on your way home and you're getting food, like, hey, can I bring you home something?
When I have had a bad day or a bad week, every morning I will wake up, and my boyfriend gets up at 4 a.m. to go to work. I will wake up with a Dutch Bros, which is all the way across town, and some flowers.
That is so sweet.
Just like out of nowhere for no reason. Sometimes I'll do it for no reason. I don't even have to be having a bad day. I never go any period of time that would be upsetting without hearing from him. If I am unhappy or in any way showing any sign of distress, the first thing he does is try to feed me.
It's like, you're not you when you're hungry.
Probably why I've gained a little bit of weight. Like, thanks, relationship weight. You make a really good point that consideration is the purest and truest form of love, because to consider someone naturally means that you are actually putting their needs.
They're at the forefront of your mind.
You're being selfless.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about love, is like, it really is selfless.
It's the most selfless thing you can do, because when you genuinely consider somebody and you really love them, you're putting yourself on the line to get hurt. Because when you're that vulnerable and you care that much for somebody, do you know how hard it's going to hit? Or it could hit if all of it came crumbling down. But when you love someone, you don't care. You do it anyways.
It doesn't matter.
You consider them anyways. You put them at the forefront of your mind anyways, because you care about them more than you care about how it would feel to lose them. God forbid, right?
You have all of that fear and it doesn't matter.
Because love is so beautiful, but it's also so scary. And I feel like that's why a lot of people have, you know, issues really opening up and being vulnerable in those situations, because there's so much to lose when you love someone. Like, it's easier to just be alone and not have to worry about losing anything. But to love is... to live.
To love is to live. And I feel like that with my relationship, because there's always fear that goes into having this much love. Because as humans, we naturally fear loss or something bad happening. It's like a pretty traumatic and negative world that we live in. You're trained to naturally have fear towards things, especially when you have such big feelings and attachments. Of course I have fear. Even with the person I know would never, ever hurt me, I still have these feelings in the back of my mind. Like, what would I do if something went wrong or if something bad happened? And as much as that would have stopped me in the past because of the things that I've been through, loving someone like him was enough for me to push that fear aside. That doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it means that I love him enough that it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And that is love, and that is consideration.
I saw this thing that said, when you finally meet a good guy who treats you well and you're actually in love with and you want to spend your life with, you're not scared of him cheating on you or beating you up. You're only scared of him dying.
Jesus Christ.
Like, the only fear that you have at that point,
yeah,
is him passing away. Because you know he's not cheating.
Yeah.
You know he's not in some girl's fucking DMs.
Yeah.
You know he's not gonna hurt you.
Yeah.
You're literally just scared he's gonna die.
So ladies, if you're not only afraid of him dying, if there's anything else that frightens you, that gives you a fright, maybe we reconsider this man.
I mean, honestly, that's a very simple but real way to put it.
Yeah. So if you're not afraid of him cheating or leaving you, what was the other thing? Beating you?
Beating your ass. That comes from personal experience. Sorry.
Yeah. Then he's the one.
I think that's a really good full circle moment, though, because I wanted to make a point that for the girlies out there that are in relationships that they feel like they're not fulfilled, they're not satisfied, maybe they love him, but they know that there's some red flags and he's not the person. I don't want to come on here and sound preachy. Like, I have the perfect relationship and I have the perfect man. I went through some shit with some really bad people and I had some really traumatic relationships. And like, at that point in my life, I genuinely thought I was going to marry him because I thought that was the only way out. I thought that was be all end all. I didn't think there was any other options. And for all my girls that are not sure, I want you to visualize yourself with the man that you're with right now. I want you to visualize your life in 20 years. What does your life look like with the man that you're with now? Is it full? Is it happy? Are you safe? Do you have a home? Do you have children? Do you have financial stability? Are you provided for? Are you loved? Are you respected? And if any of those boxes are not checked for you for the life that you see in 20 years, there is somebody out there that will check those boxes, but you're never going to find them if you stay with the one who doesn't.
And for any of the girlies out there that are feeling like, fuck, I've been through so many bad relationships and I'm with someone and I love him, but like, yeah, he's not, you know, he's not giving all the things that you guys are talking about. And I just feel like he's the best that I'm going to get. I was just telling Madison before we filmed this podcast that I feel like if I hadn't been through all of the shitty ass men that I had been through, I wouldn't have been able to appreciate a real man when I met him. And I'm not speaking in terms of like, oh, the most like macho, like manly man, like in the world. Like I'm speaking in terms of like a man that provides, a man that meets my needs to a T, like everything I needed. Like, I don't think I would have been able to appreciate having my needs met as much if I hadn't experienced how shitty it feels to consistently not have your needs met and to consistently feel like your relationship is lacking something that you need and that you crave. Like, you can have this sexual, physical attraction towards each other. That's great. That is not ever going to fulfill you in a real way that makes you feel fulfilled and happy and like your needs are being met and satisfied in any way.
And it's never going to be enough to sustain a marriage.
It's just not enough.
Like, let's think about 30, 40 years with somebody.
So my point being, like, if you are dating someone or with someone or thinking of marrying someone that you love and they're, you think they're the best you're going to get, just know that your day will come where you meet someone that blows you away just purely by the way that they treat you. And I know that sounds crazy because, oh, someone treating me good. If you would have told me that 2 months ago, I'd be like, no fucking chance.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not in the cards for me. They don't exist. They exist. They fucking exist. And you know what? The only way you're going to find them is if you stop dating and staying with men that treat you like shit.
You have to create the opportunity.
You have to just trust that they're out there.
You're never going to meet them if you stay with the men that aren't it.
Yeah.
Because it closes off so many opportunities. Because a good man like that is not going to talk to you when you're with somebody.
Yeah.
You're not going to meet the right type of people.
And the universe, not to mention, is not going to open a door for you that you're not ready for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if the universe sees that you're fucking around and like you're not seeing it, you're not getting it, then you're going to keep learning the same lesson over and over again until you finally get it. And then once you finally get it, the universe will say, there you go.
When you get it, you get it.
There you go, girly.
So picture yourself in 20 years right now with the man who gives you the life that you want. Picture that life with that man. And that's the only type of man that you should be satisfied with, because that's the only life that's going to be sustainable for you.
Sometimes I picture my life 20 years from now with me and you, Madison. And I picture us doing mushrooms in the backyard, painting.
So my dogs are out. And so, and so as we're reaching the end of this pod, you'll notice that my dogs are out and they've escaped from their little happy little cocoon. And that's because they're so happy talking about all this happy marriage. You want to have a fucking dog fight, Ellie?
I really want
Let's fucking go.
To get the fuck away from me.
Anyway, this is the end of episode 25.
Just so you know, the camera like stopped filming somewhere in the middle of that. So if this ending made no sense, if it just cut to Madison talking about
my
her dogs
are out.
That's why. But yeah, thank you for listening to episode 25. You know what's better than 24?
25?
Yeah,
that's why my
buddy.
Dogs are so excited. Mm-hmm. And don't marry him if he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. And there's...
Dump him, he's dusty.
They dump him... Dump him, he's fucking dusty.
Which reminds me, go buy our merch. Link is in the bio. Badtherapypod.com.
Badtherapypod.com. Shake your yams. Show the world your dogs. And you are that bitch.
Period.
Have a good night.
Bye.